Welcome to Making Room, a podcast inspiring people to accelerate change by being a catalyst, honoring creativity, and acting with courage. We are making room for the greatest potential of our community.
Here we are at the Making Room podcast. We're going to dive further in. We just had an incredible conversation with Michaela Binter, which is really, really going to push us further into our own learnings as leaders on creativity, what that means to us. Just like we had with her, we promised today is just going to be an invitation into seeing things differently. And we got that, you know, from the conversation we had around creativity as a way of healing, as cultivating your voice and the encouragement that's required, the space that's needed. And it was so inspiring. We hope you'll get a chance to listen to that one. But it's has caused me to think differently. I know we've been debriefing a little bit here today, but just want to go deeper, you know, with all of you listening today. And Shivani, just want to start with you and some of the things around creativity that really are sinking in with you and it, based on the conversation, or just, you know, what are some things that are you really processing right now? And as we look at the different ways it can be a part of our lives.
Sure. So I agree. It definitely reach out and listen to the episode with Michaela because it was phenomenal. And in the episode, she talks about her story, right? So all of us have these stories of how we got to where we were. And along the way, there were people and inspirations that happen to help us reach our destinations. And she talks about this adopted grandmother that she has, that she had that really encouraged her art process early on in childhood. And it really got me thinking about when we're thinking about being creative, there's multiple elements that are required to be able to express your art or to have that creativity. One is really that inspiration, right? Like, who is that person that says, yes, go for it? Being that one loving, caring adult for a child, whether it's somebody in your own home or somebody out in the neighborhood, a teacher, an early childhood person, anyone really, someone from your faith who is able to see something in you and recognize that and be able to say, let's do something with that. And that inspiration is so huge. But then I also kind of heard that you have to have tools, right? It's not just about the person, but having that access to resources. And so even when there is an inspiration or somebody that's motivating you and being able to encourage you along that pathway, if you don't actually have the resources at your fingertips, that might not result in the end outcome that you might be looking for. And then also that childlike wonder that often, I mean, we've talked about it, Brandon, with you and your story, right? That potentially gets stifled along the way. I remember going to a conference where we were talking about childhood play and how much technology has disrupted that. And this teacher describing, like, she put out little dolls and blocks, and the children just looked at them and stared at them and were like, what do they do?
Right.
Like, they didn't light up. They didn't move. They didn't talk to them. They had no idea how to play with these things because it was just stifled for so long that we almost had to reteach them that creativity. And so how do we do that without stifling? How do we encourage it and still get all the other things that we need to get done, but encourage the creativity as a path to actually do the additional learning as well? So that really struck me as kind of something that's really challenging. There was a girls' night that I did a long time ago. It's been a few years. You know, moms that are young children just trying to get out and like have a little piece. We ended up doing a paint night, but it was not your typical paint night. And it troubled all of us because we were all like type A, type personalities, like needed rules. And this artist, Kent Youngstrom, he brought us into his studio and gave us blank canvases and access to everything in his studio, all the paints, all the colors, all the tools. And he had some of his own art up on the wall. He does this kind of inspirational words on top of the art that he creates. And he said, go.
Wow.
No rules, nothing, no guidance. Yeah. He just kind of let us start. And, you know, we were like, well, what are we doing? Like, where's the paint by number and the thing that we're supposed to like copy? And without those rules, but all access to tools, like it was very frightening, right? Because we had no idea what we were going to do. We had no ideas, no plan, and we just started. paint on canvas and just kept going and going. And every once in a while, he'd come by and like throw a splash of paint on our art. Right. And we're like, what? That wasn't part of the plan, but I guess it's part of the plan now. And he would just make it better by like his own vision. But we all came out of it with these amazing pieces. And the one friend that I remember, you know, her kids were young. She had this art piece and it was just full of chaos. Colors everywhere, splatters, everything. Like every color imaginable, you know, including her kids' favorite colors. And in a tiny little corner, it said serenity. And she's like, this is my, like, this is where I find peace in the chaos of my space. Right. Right? But for her, like, again, no plan. It's just what happened. So, I mean, I just love that story because it's there. It's all within us, right? We didn't have a plan. None of us are artists per se, but it comes out.
That is great. So there's a lot there that also resonated with me. And I will, it's just, Michaela's an impressive person. Just all the things that she mentions in the episode that she's doing and coming up. I don't know how she does it all. So definitely encourage everyone to listen to the episode. But one of the things I was reflecting, and hopefully this podcast generates some of this self-reflection as part of this and what you can take away from it, was going back to our discussion of, when I wanted to be an artist when I was a kid, and someone said, how are you going to make money being an artist? You can't do that. And just the difference in that conversation, or if they said, oh yeah, you can be an artist, and let me take you to Borders or whatever the store is and give you the tools, right? Like how much that shifts the path. And then, Shivani, something you mentioned that I know John and I have talked before about, these small little moments that an adult can make in a kid's life. And so I had it when my high school English teacher, which I don't know if you can tell this. Sometimes it happens in before the podcast. I was a bit of a class clown. But she knew I had like potential, and she was like, and she let me go through a whole year. I didn't think she liked me at all. But in my yearbook, she wrote, you have amazing potential. Mm. I just hope one day I get to see you use it. And just that sentence, like, that has powered me for like the rest of my life. Like, I took it to college, and whenever I like doubted or had thoughts, like, I pulled it out. And so just those small little moments, I think, can just encourage a kid. And so when I was listening to Michaela, I thought about all the keys of success that kind of fell into place for her, right? Like, so she had that person encouraging her along this path at the beginning. Then she goes to a place like Davidson where she has access to all the tools and the learning, the education, the subject matter experts who can pour into her. And then after that, you have support from adults in the community that said, I see what you're doing. I give you this space. Do whatever you want. I mean, she mentioned in that where she had this idea that she proposed to her boss, and her boss was like, well, go do it. And I think we have very few of those moments where we're given a blank canvas to just operate. And so I'm going to bring it back to kind of the community when we're thinking about solving these problems. And that's what we talked about in the very first episode of the pilot. Can creativity be used as a way to solve our community's problems? A lot of times everyone said, oh, well, we don't have bold solutions. We just do the same old thing. And it's like those kids with the blocks. You stifled it all this way along. And then you're like, here's a bunch of problems. Figure out how to solve them. And you're like, well, where's my teacher? Where are the rules? Well, we can't do that because we're not allowed to do that, right? We can't throw the blocks out the window. And so that's really just sort of it. And so having that freedom to make those bold choices, to experiment, which Michaela talked about, I thought that was good. So that's what I took away.
Yeah, and I love that you brought up, of course, your English teacher again. And I think we could have figured out that you could have been a class clown. you were a little, you know, got to shake things up a little
bit.
That's right.
Yeah. Every once in a while.
I love it. And you know, something that really hit home for me is that sometimes I think when you have that person who you said the word sees you, sometimes I think that's even more powerful than love.
Right.
I see you.
Yeah.
And I see what you're capable of. And to your point about, like, even someone who says, well, I don't know if you can be an artist, what we miss there is something else that Michaela said, is that it's really, and I found this in my own life, is that it's about the process.
Yeah.
So if we can give young people and a person of any age the room to see their potential, it's going to take, they're going to have to try and experiment. So even just the encouragement, even if it doesn't matter whether they're an artist or not, let them figure out if that's something they like. And the more we can do that, I thought it reminded me of my high school football coach, Todd Blyle. And I didn't have a whole lot of people that believed in me and what I was capable of growing up. And here was a guy that he was tough on me. But every time I came in there, he just – he would push me, and there was something that he instilled in me, which was to be a champion for people. Wow. And to never let anybody talk themselves out of something that you're capable of. And I think sometimes, and I'm watching Michaela do this out in the community now. I remember one time I asked about her if she wanted to paint a mural on this traveling van I had, and she's already thinking about another artist she could bring in. Mm. And that mentality of like how if you've been given room, right? And, right, and she's worked her tail off to get to where she's had, overcome a lot of obstacles. But then to start thinking about how do I create these conditions for someone else to come behind me, but also this could get bigger, like this could grow quicker. And when I think about what Coach Blyle did, it was that. It was just this like, I'm going to be a champion for you and then hopefully continue to do that. And sometimes that's really what people need to get going and to get started. Mm-hmm. So
I love what you said also about the bringing other people in, the other voices. Like there is this element of art where even Michaela had mentioned it about seeing her own art across on a wall with other artists and how they actually work together, even though that wasn't how they initially were created and intended. But even in the same way, when we're thinking about community change, when you have tapped into that creative piece, multiple minds and thoughts and hearts that are coming together, and how the end outcome is probably not going to be what you initially thought it was going to be, but it works together. It's not one person's idea. It's this creative, collaborative space that creates amazing ideas.
That's a great point. I actually experimented with this earlier, not too long ago, a piece of one of my... So I've been trying to get back into art, reconnect with my childhood roots, but one piece of art I was actually sketching something for my son's room, and my daughter came over and just took tremendous interest in what are you doing? How are you doing that? How are you doing shading? And so we watched a few YouTube videos on like shading and lights and shadows. And then she was like, well, can I do it? And then it triggered like we're going to do this other project for her. And she was like, well, I want to do a piece of it. And part of me is like, you know what? It's not going to be the same if I let you kind of get in here and do it. But kind of in the spirit of that making room, it's like, you know what? And then this is what Michaela talked about. It's not just the adult showing you, here are your tools, go do it, but bringing you along and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice the end product or what I think the end product is to bring you along through the process to climb that mountain because it's about the process. And so I let her do huge pieces of it. And when we put it together, like it was way better than I ever thought before. And I will look at it, even though, you know, thinking about her at this age, that she did that and we did that together. And so it's more impactful than I would have ever done if I just kept doing it on my own. So that's the perfect example, Shavani, of what you just shared.
I love that idea of, I think sometimes as leaders too, we get caught up in that end product, right? But what could our community be like if we were more focused on how is it made?
Right.
Who participated? And how many people grew as a result of that. And it is hard, right? Just like the other thing that I'm personally in my own life and creativity is also creating that time to be alone, right? And sometimes, yes, there's times for collaboration, but also I was struck by that too, which I think it's hard. Sometimes I can do more working with other people. So I'm curious for both of you, as what are outlets, you know, for how you cultivate your own creativity and what helps you? Because I think there's so many forms, right? We've all talked about this. It's not just putting, you know, paint on a canvas or drawing. There's how you are with your team there. For me, sometimes my creativity is I call it, I'm a curator of people. Right. Like I love people. I'm so interested in what they're interested in. Which to me is an art form. So curious for you how you apply this idea of seeing people, and what are things you do as practices at home, and how do you apply it at work?
Well, yeah. So I think going back to the artwork, just sort of that's been really good for me. And at first it was like, you know, I don't have time for this. But then let me just do it. I think you may have been, John, the one who encouraged me, bought me some art supplies. So I heard you like art. You need to
Cheap Joe's Art Supply. Great store.
Yeah, it is a great store. Actually, I was there yesterday. But anyway, so that has become a really good release valve. And what I've found is even though I'm doing that, I'll do that on the weekend, it makes the weeks where I'm actually being a practicing attorney so much easier. And I feel like I'm better to start the week because I've done that over the weekend to kind of recharge. I'd say the other thing is just being, it's as simple as being outside and being around nature for me, which is just, there's so much beauty you can see. Like, I love mountains and just the beauty in the mountains and seeing that and just channeling that into other things you're doing. So I think those have been the two things for me. And I, especially through COVID, it's been outdoors. Everything is outdoors. Like, outdoors is a safe space. Mm-hmm. And so just being outdoors, I think, has created this appreciation. Even when you look at restaurants, like, we're going to go to a restaurant. Do they have an outdoor patio? Nope, not going there. So it's been great. So I'll add that.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, again, creating that space and time between being a physician, being a mom, being a wife, trying to do all the things, that time is really hard to find. But when I do find it, I end up doing things that create, right? So we've talked about cooking. I love to cook. And when I'm at peace and
still
I can like do
on
it.
That meal.
I know. When I can do it in the kitchen by myself. Just the other night, I was cooking for my father-in-law's birthday. And everyone kept saying, look, we can help you in the kitchen. I was like, no, I just need the kitchen to myself. Right. And I'm going to chop. And it's like, there's a beauty in that, right? Like chopping the vegetables, gardening last spring, I guess, when I had a chance to have a couple days at home, really getting in the garden, like exploring, like just an eggplant. Like, the eggplant is a beautiful vegetable. And so being able to kind of see that, and then I brought my doodles. So I was telling you the other day, I doodled, and it was like
I thought that was Britain too.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
It's a form of healing. It's a form of catharsis, awesome. And just being able to sit there and do these like super detailed, intricate amazing. Designs. And to your point about doing it with my daughter, like, she was sitting next to me. She's like, can I do that? And of course I was like, not on my painting. Don't, you know, okay. I ended up buying her a different notebook, and she was just sitting right next to me, and she will copy and doodle, and she's just figured it out as well. But creating has been so helpful. And while it has no, like, you know, there's no message there, but it was just a form of art.
I don't buy it. I literally thought that was a purchased journal with a
printed
design.
No. Computer generated.
I bet it. I'm curious.
I know
what does it mean.
It does. I don't know. You'll have to look at it a little deeper. You know? Yeah. I used to do words too. I was like, I can do logo design.
Okay. Well, fun, I know people listening can't see this, but it is an amazing design that maybe you have to put up somewhere. But it is.
Well, you know what? Can we take some pictures?
Of course.
But we've got words and different fonts. We've got, tell us about what you did.
Yes, so my husband was trying to create a business, and I was helping him with his logo design, but trying to add a little Indian element into it as well.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow, no, I love that, because I think even as we talk about and see the way you create or express, there is something that is rejuvenating about that. You talked about nature, Brandon. That's a big thing for me, and I love that, because the other part about creativity that I think sometimes we're not talking about in the community is it as a form of healing, right? As a recreating ourselves and recreating and expressing. And so I think this is another one of those forms. You know, for me, it's sometimes when I sit down and write, and there's a quote that I love from Julia Cameron, and she says, she wrote The Artist's Way, that I believe that what we want to write wants to be written. Probably just like the doodling. Mm. I believe that as I have an impulse to create, the something I want to create has an impulse to want to be born. My job then is to show up on the page and let that something move through me. In a sense, what wants to be written is none of my business. Mm. And I think you could replace the word written for doodling, anything. Painting, mm-hmm. leading.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the part that I'm inspired to be doing more, seeing what you're doing here is just, it's just showing up for those moments, showing up for, because sometimes showing up to me for yourself means you're going to show up to be at your best, you know, for your team and for these bigger ideas that both of you have talked a lot about.
Yeah, and I think the same point about the healing is that while it's so important for your own self, right, making room for yourself and allowing yourself to have that healing moment with whatever form of art you might be drawn to or whatever form of creativity, but there's also this community healing that happens around that as well, right? Whether it's looking at the art and seeing yourself in it or seeing a message or having something touch you or walking away from it or actually being engaged in the process or seeing your own art in a space, there's something about that that does amazing things for a community as well, to be able to share a message and express themselves.
Yeah, and a way of expressing that you probably couldn't do in other mediums too, right? This is not easily, it's just more open. People can interpret, which I think is really powerful.
Mm-hmm. And going to then when you can have that chance to express, right?
I think
you said, both of you said, talked about bold ideas. And there's another, y'all know I love some quotes. So there's
I got a few here.
So Sarah Elizabeth Lewis, she wrote a book called The Rise. She's a professor at Harvard. She's working on a project called Vision and Justice in collaboration with some of the best creatives. And I was really struck by something she said here, so I'd love to hear what y'all's perspective is on it. She said, inventions come from those who can view a familiar set of variables from a radical perspective and see new possibilities. And so as we're thinking about literally bold ideas and new ways of seeing, for y'all, what's a radical perspective that you feel we all need to see in this community? What's something that you're sitting with or maybe been thinking about that we can hear more?
You put us on the spot.
Put you on the spot. I have
an answer for you.
Okay,
because we're talking about creativity. So I, you know, a lot of what we're talking about is a lot of what we need in terms of expression, bridging gaps, divides, bringing people together, community healing. All these things are things that we need, and we're saying art helps you do that. And I know art has been a big topic in our community, but I think a radical way of thinking is not thinking about sort of art as something that's on a page or something that's in a museum, but just thinking about the creativity that we all have and how do we bring that together. And so maybe it's that is going back to rethinking our education system, right? Like maybe it is we don't need to stifle some of this creativity. And what I've liked about Michaela talked about in the story, like her mom wouldn't let her paint on the walls, but would give her other flexibility. And and for a while we stifled our kids and like, we're not going to let you do that. But then I was like, you know what? Fine. You can take the recycling, you can take the toilet paper rolls and make whatever, a rocket ship out of it, whatever you want to do. And that creativity actually speeds, you know, it blends into like STEM work, right? Where you would say, oh, well, you can't do art. You need to do STEM. You need to do math and science. But that is it. Like it's creating, and I've seen their creativity, and I go back to kids because I feel like that's a little bit of the purest form of what we're talking about. I've seen their creativity turn into, well, this is how I would do the math problem, right? And so I think this rethinking all of that, the structure, the silos that we have, the fact that in this community we have a corporate community, we have a creative community, and they're separate and they may not trust each other. Let's bridge those divides and let's say we're all creatives in some way. How do we plug in our creatives in our community like a Michaela to help pull that out of us? And how do we support them from the other side to get them what they need to continue to grow and all work together? So I don't know if that's as radical as you would hoping for, but that would be my answer.
I love it. I love it.
I mean, for me, and I'm going to bridge a little bit off of what you said, that there is, I believe, in children so much, right?
Yeah.
They have all of this in them, and even the inventive nature, like, not just the educational math science things, but also social justice matters, right? Like you put a problem in front of a child's face and they use their creativity to come up with solutions that are amazing. And they're not thinking just about today. They're thinking about long-term as well. And it might not be totally plausible or logical. My example would be my daughter. She really has gotten into inventions recently. So she's been drawing and coming up with things and then asking us like, okay, what are the materials I need to actually make this happen? Her most brilliant, and I'm so proud of this invention, she decided that she was going to invent this pod for people who were homeless. Wow. But in the pod, there would be like this communal area where people could like, you know, eat and gather and things like that. But each family or group of people would have their own pod outside of that was transportable. So it allowed for choice, right? Here's somebody, a little child, who is giving someone human dignity to say, like, we're not just going to force you to be in this space that we have decided for you, but you take your pod wherever you want and you go, but you're always welcome back home, right? You can always come back here to get what you need and to have that community. Mm. And while that's not, you know, I don't know about flying pods anytime soon, but the idea of that and creating that that space for someone, that's in a kid's brain, right? And so the radical idea, I think, for me is just like, let's listen. Let's listen to our children. Let's listen to our youth and actually use that creativity that they're so much closer to oftentimes than we are, and design and come up with brilliant ideas.
I like that. And Michaela was how old, and she's like spurring all this conversation. So that's the point. Exactly. Point taken, right?
So. 23. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so true. And Sahana's six.
She's 6 years old. Exactly.
They start you on.
I think that's the big part of creativity that our youth has too is curiosity, and when you still have that, and adults sometimes, and this is a product of, you know, injustice and oppression, is that when you've been told no or not treated well or marginalized, it can create the mindset of, well, this won't work. And what our youth has is there's less of that. That's, and some have had a lot of difficult things happening based on our community, but I noticed it in a high school, of when you create those conditions for them to say what they want and to really like divert. We didn't even have to talk about diversity, and that was natural to them. Mm-hmm. It's like, we want to learn about cultures, and you know, we want to celebrate Asian American culture just as much as Black culture and mm-hmm. Latinx culture. And those were things that were just like a culture of like welcoming and belonging. Is it was like much more natural to right. young people. So mm-hmm. that's for me. That's how I would, I'm with y'all, is just sometimes I think in this community, and you know, if you're trying to stop drinking soda and you're drinking Coke, I think in Charlotte, sometimes we say, oh, I'll just start drinking Mountain Dew, right? Which is not doing anything if you're trying to have less sugar. Mm-hmm. We need to start over. We need to go with the water, right? And I think the youth are our water. The youth are the hope. And if there were some ways that we just completely changed how we, quote, evaluate students in education, and we honored curiosity mm-hmm. and exploring versus, you know, so many of these different test scores. There's a lot of work to be done, a lot of good people working on it, but that's part of what we want to spark here. We hope, as you've been listening today, that there's something you're going to make room for in what you create and what you honor and the gifts and innate talents that you have in yourself. So as we close out here today, I'd love to hear from each of you, you know, what's one thing, you know, we got a chance to talk with Michaela. We've been talking, the three of us, today. What are you going to make room for, you know, in your life and your leadership going forward from today?
So I think for me, I'll do two. Am I allowed to do two?
Of course. She's taking bread.
I think there's two big ones. I think the making room for ourselves, for myself, is really important. And as I listen more and more, you know, to you, Brennan, picking up your art as well, and taking bold moves for you, John, like just being able to say, like, you know what, I'm going to do it, right? I can find time. I can find 5 minutes a day to do something that really is meaningful and allows me to tap into some of that creative energy that I've had. And then two is, I love the idea of just being a caring adult. And while as a pediatrician, like I see kids every single day, I think for me, being more intentional about the questions that I ask and the encouragement that I'm offering in that moment, right? I might not see them again for a little bit until their next checkup, but asking like, hey, what are you into? What makes you so proud? Like, what are you really good at? Mm. And encouraging that thing, because maybe I'm the only person that's ever asked them.
Mm. Wow. That's awesome. It's hard to follow that. But I'm going to steal one of Shivani's in making room for myself. I actually think that's really important, and we haven't talked about that before. But I do think in order for me to be my best, to bring my best self to wherever I'm going, I have to be at my best, and I have to have recharged battery. And so coming out of COVID, where I think so many of us have felt like we've given so much. Well, a lot of us have been alone, so I don't want to overlook that. But I feel like some of us have felt like we've given so much, whether it's schooling at home or being cautious of grandparents and not wanting to, just thinking through so much. And I think recharging the battery and making room for yourself, and also making room for yourself to make mistakes and be okay with that. I think that's a big takeaway. The other thing I would say is the part where Michaela talked to her boss still stands out to me. And so for those of us who are leaders, I think making room for others to propose things and for you to say, you know what, just go do it. Just go do it. I don't care. I'll have your back. I'll support you. You go do it. We'll face the consequences. And it may not be perfect, but let's see what comes out of it. And so I think in interactions with my team and others, just allowing that to happen.
Oh, I love that. We hear no so much. I like the yes.
Well, first one, and Brandon, you might want to participate in this. I'm making room for a dinner in my schedule.
I thought singing. Yes, I will make room for dinner.
Yes. Yes. Let's do it.
There's days that I will be open just in case Shivani.
I will.
See, you're not a neighbor anymore. You can't just like smell through the walls.
Y'all don't know Shivani. She is a chef who her food is amazing. So
make room for that too.
Yeah, he's got and I'll save room.
Yeah, that's right.
Save room. Yes.
But for me, it's that the small. I was listening to the author of Atomic Habits, James Clear, and for me, it's that writing. And sometimes I think spending that time getting out my own thoughts is hard. And so one of the things he said that I thought was great is, you know, instead of like scheduling an hour saying this is my writing time, like just wake up and write two sentences. Mm-hmm. And I just like that idea. So now you're building this sort of story that I'm a writer, and you got to have evidence of that. So that's something for me is in particular. And as I go, Brandon, I like what you said. I'm gonna borrow one of yours. Is the in sometimes when I'm facilitating in these programs is just being willing to let go more and more and say, hey, this is your part. I can't wait to see what you come up with. Right. I trust you to totally take this on and honor how you might do it, even though it's different from mine, which isn't always easy for me. So what a great conversation. Thank you all. We thank Michaela for sparking such an inspiring, deeper look into creativity. And we just look forward to the next time we get to talk with y'all on Making Room.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
We invite you to continue making room with us. You'll find this episode and all of our exciting and meaningful conversations on Apple, Spotify, or really anywhere you choose to listen to podcasts.
Join the Making Room movement and get more info at makingroomwithus.com or follow us on Instagram at Making Room With Us.
Thank you for showing up for us and each other. Until next time.
You are wonderful and full of truth. Just as you are. Just as you are. You are wonderful, so full of truth. Just as you are. Just as you are, just as you are, you're welcome here just as you are.